so Lenny, let me give you a list of which pages we're working on. I don't know what I have for you. Some of them should be. Here's one of them for sure.
But you don't need this one?
I don't need that one, but there should be others. Just if you could jot down, or if I have a little piece of paper, just to jot down some of the pages that we want to look at. So there's a paragraph I want to do on Kuf Yud Gimel, if you find that. Here, try this, maybe a pencil.
Kuf Yud Gimel.
Yud Gimel.
Yeah.
And then we have Kuf Chaf Hei.
Kuf Chaf Hei.
Hei. And then we have Kuf Chaf Vav.
Which is right here.
Okay.
That's good. Cool right there.
And did I mention Kuf Chaf Gimel?
Yes.
Okay. So that's Kuf Yud. So Kuf Yud Gimel.
Kuf Chaf Gimel you didn't mention.
Oh, what about Kuf Yud Gimel?
Kuf Yud Gimel you mentioned.
Okay, Kuf Yud Gimel, and then Kuf Chaf Gimel, straight till Kuf Chaf He. That'll give us a far, as we say, and then we'll see what we want to do after. So on Kuf Yud Gimel, we have just one, I think, one or two paragraphs to add to a discussion that we had. Let's see
if some others as well. Is it from?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Again, as we go into it, I'll be smarter.
This is here.
To finish up on Kuf Yud Gimel, we were analyzing the Shita of the Rashba, and we have one little piece to finish that off. Let's just reiterate the Rashba's kasha. The Gemara establishes the following description or categorization of the Kohen who was mafate a besula or ma'anis a besula as far as the mitzvah of velosia l'isha, and knas depends upon velosia l'isha in this context on daf lamed omen aleph. She is Ba'ulas Atzmo, and the Rambam Shita, which we discussed at great length, is that if a Kohen Gadol has a relationship with a Ba'ula, even though she's Ba'ulas Atzmo, that creates Chalos. Now, the relationship between any Kohen, and certainly a Kohen Gadol, and a Chalola, is that of an Isur Lav with a Chiyuv Malkus. And we're going now according to Rabbi Akiva Shita that Ein Kedushin Tovsin B'chai Be'lavim. So how could the Gemara use this case of Ba'ulas Atzmo as a case which would depend upon Shimon HaTimni versus Rabbi Shimon HaManasya, which means it would fall between the cracks and it could be described as an Isha She'ena Ru'uya L'kayma, but on the other hand, Yesh Ba Havaya, which means that although he's not allowed to marry her, the marriage itself would be valid if he went ahead and he married her. That's called Yesh Ba Havaya. Well, if she became a Chalola through that Bia, then you can't apply the principle of Velosia Leisha, even from the perspective of Yesh Ba Havaya, according to this Rambam, because what happens is, according to the Rambam, she becomes a Chalola. Once she becomes a Chalola, is less be'avaya. Why? Because Chayim Lavim, according to Rabbi Akiva, certainly generates Mamzerus and Itfisas Kedushin. There's no is be'avaya. So in the case of Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol, how can the Gemara say on Daf Lamed that that's a nafgemina between Shimon Rav Shimon ben Asya, who would say ein lo knas because ein aruya lekayma, and Shimon Atimni, who would say yesh lo knas because is be'avaya, that's not true. Less be'avaya, because once she's be'ulas atzmo, then she gets the status of a chalol. And the Rashba, in order to answer this question, he says the following, that the original be'ila of ones or mafata could not possibly make her into a chalola, even according to the Rambam. And the reason for that is because we have to wait until the second be'ila, until she becomes a chalola. If you take a look at the language of the Rashba, he writes that we have to wait until Gemar Be'ila, the first Be'ila itself, doesn't change her status. Why? Because we have to wait till Gemar Be'ila. So only after Gemar Be'ila, again in Mefutas Atzmo and Anusas Atzmo, only at that moment in time would her status change, such that now with an additional be'ila, she becomes a chalola. So therefore, until the second be'ila, says the Rashba, she's not a chalola. And therefore, v'lo siyo le'isha would apply from the perspective of Rav Shimon Hatimni, because Shimon Hatimni holds that it all depends on his be'avaya. So when we're anticipating the next be'ila, right, in the, let's say we'll call it the time pause between the first be'ila of the Kohen Gadol with this busula and the second be'ila, at this point she's not yet a halol. She could not become a halol until after the second be'ila.
Mm-hmm. After the second be'ila.
Correct. Right. So that therefore, we're now after the first be'ila. We want to know whether he pays knas. And the answer is that if you hold like Shimon HaTimni, he will pay knas because at this point she's Isbei Havaya. Why is she Isbei Havaya? Because it'll take the second be'ila to make her into a chalola and generate the lav, the violation of the lav of chalola and be mafkia tfisis kedushin. But we're talking about the aftermath of the first be'ila, before the second be'ila. So as we describe our situation now, it's Isbei Havaya because it's only after the second be'ila that she would be Chayvei Lavim under the category of Chalol. And now the question remains, well, why can't the first be'ila already achieve that goal of making her into a chalola? Since be'ila is made up of two parts, ha'ara and then gmar bia, with the ha'ara, which is considered a bia according to the standards of the Torah, called dini ha'Torah, she already goes through this status change, which is called a zona, such that now when he completes his bia with gmar bia, he makes her into a chalola. Already at the end of the be'ila, she's a chalola, and there's no longer a mitzvah of a lo si'alisha. No, forget about the mitzvah of lo si'alisha. There's no possibility of a lo si'alisha. The Torah would not recognize her kiddushin. She's less be'avaya because she's a chalola already. And a chalola to a Kohen Gadol, like a grusha to a Kohen Gadol, is less be'avaya. So what is this din? What is this principle that the Rashba is operating with that assumes that her status change could only be after the complete bila, such that now she becomes a zone at the end of at the completion of the first bila, meaning the onus or the pitui, which is the gemar bila, and then when he has another bila with her as a zone, then he makes her into a chalol. Why is that so? Now keep in mind, Rabosai, her status change to become a zona, that's not a halolus issue yet, because the status of a woman as a zona is not a result of, by virtue of, a violation of an isa kahuna. So let's say, for example, a man would have a relationship with his own sister. That's not a prohibited relationship under kahuna, within the framework of kahuna. No man is allowed to have a relationship with his sister. So she becomes a zona at the end of that bia, such that now, if a kohen would have bia with a zona, he makes her into a chalol. Why? Because now he's violating a unique kahuna iser. In other words, if Reuven had a relationship with his sister, that doesn't mean that she's asura al kuli alma. Anybody can marry a zona. Only a kohen is enjoined from marrying a zona. And when you get to the violation of the isurei bia of a kohen, then you talk about chalolas. So her status as a chalola is engendered by the second bia after she became a zona. Now, why can't we assume she became a zona halfway through the bia, such that now when the kohen finishes his bia, in this case the kohen gadol, he is now making her into a chalola, right, which means that it's no longer below Silisha, even from Shimon HaTimni's perspective of Ismei Havaya. For some strange reason, the Rashba is operating with some sort of mechanics in which the Tchilas Bia does not make her into a Zona, and it's only the Sof Bia which makes her into a Zona, such that now the second Bia is required in order to make her into a Chalol. Mm-hmm. So between the first Bia and the second Bia, there's no Chalolos. How does that operate? So what I'd like you to see is, and again, this is just a partial review of what we finished up on Thursday, is Os Pei Gimel, which is on the left column of page Kuf Yud Gimel. And he says, V'yesh Omrim Diledivrei HaRashba, Yesod HaDin, the principle that the Rashba is operating with, which is Chada Bia Lo Nafliginon. We cannot split one bia into two parts. And what does that mean? What it means is, and he's basing himself on the Rashim of Tor V'Das, Rav Shlomo Hyman, the definition is that ein bia achas yechola ligrom shnei isurim. And therefore, in the case of a kohen, for example, who has a bia with his sister, ba'al achoso, we can't say she'ha'ora tasa'osa zona, that when he has a relationship with his sister, she becomes a zona already midway through the bia. And now, the gemar bia of that very same bia is going to generate an iser chalol. Do you follow? So again, the iser of a kohen ba'al achoso has nothing to do with his kahuna status. Even in Yisrael would make her into a zona. But why not say the following? That the tchilas bia should make her into a zona. Now when he's gomer his bia, he's already violating an iser kahuna, right? Because anyone else can marry this woman except for him as a kohen. Kohen is enjoined from having a relation with a zona. So now when he has this relation with a zona in the gemar bia, that itself makes her into a chalola. And we're adding a whole new iser here. The first iser of zona is one iser. Now the second iser is chalola. So, for example, if let's say she could, if she would be poresh, let's say there was a cessation, a termination of the bia in tchilas bia, she would not have the status of a chalol because she only became a zona after the bia, which means after the hara. But why not assume that now that she's a zona after the first part of the bia, she becomes a chalol as a result of the second part of the bia, because now it's a kohen who's having a relation with a zona. And that becomes a unique kohen iser, right? The first iser of Baal Achos was not a unique kohen iser, so that's not going to create a chalol, a status of a chalola. But once he finishes the tchilas bia, and she becomes what? A zona with tchilas bia, now when the kohen is gomer's bia, he creates a new iser, which is called chalola. And that's a result of the fact that a kohen had a relationship with a zona. But the answer is, according to the Rashba, that one bia is indivisible, so to speak, to create two different isurim. So although the tchilas bia will create an isur zona, it's impossible for the sof bia, the gmar bia, to create an isur chalol. Why? Because it's all part of one bia. And one bia cannot generate two different isurim. And he says at the end of this paragraph that this has nothing to do with the Sefer HaMakna. So what we want to do is we want to go over the Sefer HaMakna. The Sefer HaMakna you'll see on the bottom two lines in the right column on the same page. The case is where Chayvei Lavim fell for Yibum. So a woman lost her husband without any, he left no children, he has a brother, and she's Chayvei Lavim as far as the Yavam is concerned. Mm-hmm. Now, normally, you could apply the principle of Esei Docha Losa, so that this Bia, that the Yavam is going to be Ba'al Yavama, is a key of Mitzvah's Bia. Okay, I'm sorry, key of Mitzvah's Yibum. But, says the Rashba, we got a problem here. Because the Mitzvah of Yibum is fulfilled with Bia. And Bia, according to Halacha, and that's our universal standard, is Tchilas Bia Ha'ara. So on the Ha'ara, we could possibly say, Esei Dochalos Aseh. But moving on to the top left column, but Bigmar Bia Rishona, Asura. When we get to the point of the Sof Bia, we have a problem of an Iser. And why is that? Because he's already fulfilled the Esei of Yibum with the Tchilas Bia. And now when he gets to the Sof Bia, there's no Esei anymore. And now he's going to violate the losasa without an essay to be docha the losasa. And therefore, a grusha who falls for yibum to a kohen, ubale mischaleles hi vizara. Why? Because even though this grusha fell for yibum, and the first part of bia is a mitzvah, but that mitzvah of yibum only applies to the first part of the bia. And it's only an essay dochalosa cell in the first part of the bia. The gmar bia, that would be an avera, and the vlad would be a cholol. Now you see that the gmar bia creates chalolos. So we view gmar bia as a separate entity. How do we reconcile that with the Rashba, who says that we look at the entire bia as one indivisible entity? And the answer is that's not a kasha, because what the Rashba had in mind was not that we can't split the bia into that, but that one bia can't generate two isurim. As far as the first half of the bia, in the cases of the Sefer HaMakna, whether it be a case of Chayvei Lavim or the case of a grusha lekohen, there the first half of the bia doesn't generate any isur at all. On the contrary, there's a mitzvah of yibum on the first bia. But now the second part of the bia, the gemara bia, could generate an isur chalolos. Masha Enkin, in the case of the Rashba, where the Kohen Gadol had bia with a psula, whether it's ones or mafateh, so then you're going to create two isurim with one bia. The tchilas bia is going to create an isur zona, and now as a result of violating the isur zona with the gmar bia, it's going to make her into a chalola and add a whole new isur to her status. And that one bia can't do. So the great triumph of this first paragraph is to reconcile the Rashba with the Sefer HaMakna. There's no steer between the two. The Sefer HaMakna is not talking about creating two Isurim with one Bia. What he's saying is that the first part of the Bia is enough for Kiyum Mitzvah to say that he already fulfilled Yibum, which means that the second half of Bia is now devoid of any status as a Kiyum Mitzvah, so there's no essay to be doche either the lav of Chayvei Lavim or the lav of Grusha Lekohen, and hence she becomes a Chalol as a result of the Gemar Bia. But in the case of the Rashba, which is the Kohen Gadol who had a Bia with a Besula, there's no way that you can create a twofold Isur through this one single Bia, in which the first half of the Bia creates an Isur Zona, and now when he violates the second half, when he violates the Isur Zona with the second half of his Bia, he creates an Isur Chalola. Now it comes out that one Bia has created two Isurim. That's what we got up to on Thursday. Today I just want to add one paragraph. Lenny, did you want to say something?
No, I just said it seems that so where there's two Isurim involved, or potentially involved, it seems to be more makel for the second issa than the where there's an asay and an issa.
Well, I'm not sure if you mean more makel. I guess we're saying the following. We're saying the following. Can Gmar Bia generate an issa? And the answer is yes, but it's a qualified yes. Bamedvar, when could the Gemara Via create an Issa? That's when the Tchilas Aviyah didn't create an Issa. So now he's going to have an ability to create Chalolos here by virtue of the fact that she's a Grusha with the Gemara Via. Again, there was no Issa that was generated in the first half of Via because she's already a Grusha. That's a known fact. That's a given. And he didn't violate any Issa. I don't know if he was the kind of mitzvah Yibum. Now what's happening is he's doing almost a brand new bia with a grusha, which is not a bias mitzvah at all because he's already fulfilled the mitzvah of even with the tchilas bia. That has nothing to do with the Rashba. The Rashba is talking about a case where he's going to accomplish two isur, generate two isur with one bia. With the tchilas isur, with the tchilas bia, he's going to create one isur. With the sof bia, he's going to create another isur. Right? The Torah prohibits the kohen from marrying a zona, and the Torah prohibits the kohen from marrying a chalola, and they're two separate isurim in the Torah. For example, if she was both a zona and a chalola, he would get two sets of malchus for violating two isurim. Now, what's going to happen is with the tchilas bia, he's going to generate an isur zona. Why? Because there's an isur ba'ula lekohen, and she became a ba'ula already with tchilas bia. I'm not talking about a kohen gadol. I'm sorry. And number two, now the Kohen Gadol is having a bia with a Zona. Why? Because the Iser of Zona was Chal with Chilas Bia. So now we're going to generate a new bia of Gmar Bia to generate a new Iser of Chalola, to add Chalola on top of Zona. That we can't do, because the Rashba is saying you can't take one bia and divide up into two Isurim. But he says, Tzarech Iyun Gadol. He says, we really have a problem here in the case of the Rashba. And why is that? Because the Rashba is addressing the case of an Iser essay of Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol. Now, in such a case of Ba'ula L'Kohen Gadol, Lo Amrina Dibeha Ara Nases Ba'ula Ubegvar Bia Mashvile Chalola. The Rashba's principle is that we're going to not allow the Ha'ara to make her into Ba'ula and therefore generate an Iser Zona, and then on top of it the Be'ila of Gmar Bia makes her into Chalola. U'bazeh i'efshal afarish d'lo chal le'ashem Ba'ula ad Gmar Be'ila. In other words, forget about the Iser Zona. In our Sugya, we're not even talking about the Iser Zona. We can make her into Chalola by virtue of the fact that she's already a ba'ula, which means that if the Gmar Bia would generate a violation of Be'ilas Ba'ula, that should be sufficient to create a Chalolos, which makes it less be'avaya, even before we get to the second Bia, with the Gmar first Bia. Do you follow? We're not talking about a case like Baal Achoso, where you need the Tchilas Bia to generate an Iser Zona, correct? And then the Issa Zona, in turn, with the Gmar Bia, could generate an Issa Chalolos, and we apply the principle of Ein Bia Achas Yechol Ligrom Shnei Yisurim. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Kohen Gadol with Tchilas Bia, making her into a Ba'ula. Now, when he, the Kohen Gadol, finishes his Be'ila, and he violates an Issa Be'ila of a Ba'ula, which we said is a Lava Bamachal Essay, and it's a Kohen Gadol Dika Lava Bamachal Essay, that itself should generate Chalolos. I'll prove it to you, says the Rosh Hashiva Tarvadas. He says, I'll prove it to you from a Gemara in Kiddushin Daf Yud. The Gemara says the following, that a Kohen Gadol cannot get married. Period. I'm joking with you. That was just to wake you up. What do you mean a Kohen Gadol can't get married? There's one shita that says that a kinyan kiddushin can only be chal with gmar bia. Again, we're going to reject that in just a minute, but just accept this as a hypothetical, theoretical assumption. Now, watch what happens. In the case of a kohen gadol, he can only marry her with gmar bia if we hold that kiddushin are only chal with gmar bia. Right, that's called Sof Bia Kona. Now, if you hold that Sof Bia Kona, the Gemara establishes that there's no way that a Kohen Gadol can get married. Why? He has to marry a Besula. Correct? and his marriage is only consummated with Gmar Bia. She became a Be'ula already halfway through the Be'ula. And now he's not being Mekadesh a Besula, but rather a Be'ula.
Yeah.
So you see clearly that her status as a Be'ula changes with Tchilas Bia. Now, if that be the case, then we don't understand the Rashba. How can the Rashba say, well, you know what? We need to create two Isurim with one Bia. That's not true. What we're doing here, in the case of a Kohen Gadol, is we're changing our status to that of a Be'ula with Tchilas Bia. Once she's a Be'ula, then we have one Bia that's generating one Isur. In other words, the Rashba makes a lot of sense in the case of Baal Achoso. There we're going to have to assume that she doesn't become a Chalol until the second Bia. Why is that? Because she only became a Zona to generate an Isur Zona with this Bia, so this Bia can't serve a double function to create a second Isur. That's wonderful. But that doesn't apply in the case of a Be'ula Kohen Gadol. Because the case of a Be'ula Kohen Gadol, once he marries this Besula and he has Tchilas Bia with her, already at the point of Tchilas Bia, he made her into a Be'ula. And if you're holding that Ein Adam Kona Ish El Besof Bia, then his Kedushin can only be Chal with the Gemar Bia. Well, guess what? She's already a Be'ula before he gets to the Gemar Be'ula. And that's the Gemara in Kedushin. The Gemara proves based on this logic that it must be that the Torah holds that Kol HaMekadesh HaDaito the Gemar Bia. Well, no, I'm saying if you hold Kol HaMekadesh HaDaito, Kol HaMekadesh B'Bia is Daito al Gemar Bia, then we're going to get into deep trouble with the Kohen Gadol. We have no way out. We have to hold that the standard for a Kenyan Bia, as far as Kedushin and creating Isha is concerned, is identical with the universal standard of what makes a Bia into a Bia, which is Hatzcholas Bia. So what that means is that when he married a Besula. But once again, you see that the Gemara assumes that she became a Be'ula in the middle of the Be'ila, meaning after the Tchilas Be'ila. So we're really stuck now as to how the Gemara can offer this Be'ula Kohen Gadol as a case of Isbe Avaya. What do you mean Isbe Avaya? Already with the Tchilas Bia, she is a Be'ula. Therefore, now the Kohen Gadol, when he finishes the Be'ila with Gemar Be'ila, he makes her into a Chalola because he's violating the Isur Kahuna to a Be'ula. Again, when I say Isur Kahuna, I mean a Kohen Gadol. The Eshalomar the Din Zed the Chada Bia Loma Flagida Latrei Isurei. Shaykh Rak Lagabi Isurei Bia. The Ein Bigmar Bia Bias Isur Zona. Ubias Isur Ba'ula. In other words, there's a difference between the Gemara Kedushin. The Gemara Kedushin on Daf Yud is talking not about a Bias Isur to create a status change of an Isur, but rather the issue is about being Makadish in Isur B'Bia. And there we're going to say that if he's only Makadish or B'Sof Bia, then he has a problem because she's already Be'ula and Tchilas Bia. But what the Rashba is addressing are the cases of Isur Zona and Bias Isur Be'ula. And as far as those cases are concerned, we're going to apply the principle of Chada Bia Lo Maflegina L'Trei Isurin. But in the case of a Kohen Gadol, Shekidesh B'Bia Bilvad, that Milvad Isur Bia Yeshkam Isur Kicha. Now, what happens that's unique in the case of Kohen Gadol? The Torah says Kiyika. The Torah says Ish Hu Isha Bibsula Bibsuel Yikach. So the emphasis here is on the Kedushin themselves. So the Kohen Gadol has to be Makadesh a Besula. Well, I have a problem here because she already became a Be'ula, and how can he generate his Kedushin with Gmar Bia if you hold Sof Bia Kona when she's already Be'ula? And here we're not going to say that it's Chad Bia. Well, what does that have to do with Chad Bia? It has to do with Kicha itself. And the Kicha is only Chal with Gmar Bia. And now she's already Be'ula. Masha'enke, in the case of the Rashba, there the Rashba wants to set up a situation where the Tchilas Bia will generate an Isur, and that's where he says the Chada Bia cannot generate two different Isur. So that's the piece that I wanted to add to Yom Chamishi of last week. And now I'd like you to fast forward to Kuf Chaf Gimel. Okay. Now, in Kuf Chaf Gimel, we're talking about Rav Nechunya ben Akana. Rav Nechunya ben Akana holds that Hamadik es Gedisha shal Chaver b'Yom HaKippurim potu. Even though Yom HaKippurim is only an Isur Kares, but we still apply the principle of Kimle b'Rav Minei even in the case of an Isur Kares. Now, the Gemara says that there are two possible derivations or sources for Rav Nechunya ben Akana. One is Ason. Ason is the source for Kimle b'Rav Minei, and Rav Nechunya expands the application of Ason to include even a punishment that comes b'day shamayim like kares. And the Gemara goes, right, that's according to Abaye. And then the Gemara mentions Rava, that Rava has a special limud, especially Alfusa, to explain Rav Nechunya ben Akana, that equates Misas Bezdin with Karis. And that if Misas Bezdin is not meted out for whatever reason, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to mete out the Misa. I'm going to punish him with death. And that's going to be Karis. So this is the shita of Rava in Rav Nechunya ben Akana. And the Gemara looks for a nafkamina between Abaye and Rava, and the Gemara comes up with the nafkamina of Chayvei Misos Bezdin. I'm sorry, of Chiv Misa Midei Shamayim, which is going to be the case of Zar Shachal Truma, which we'll get up to in a session. Now, Misa Midei Shamayim is not the same as Karis. Let's say, for example, Karis maybe before the age of 60. I don't know, you have to figure that all out. And Misa B'day Shamayim means that at some point he'll die prematurely, but he may live way beyond the age of 60. In any event, the bottom line is that Misa B'day Shamayim is less severe than Kares. And therefore, according to Rava, we cannot apply the principle of Rav Nechunya ben Akana, namely that Misa's Bezdin is substituted by Kares. Kares equals Misa's Bezdin. Because we're talking about Misa B'day Shamayim. That's not the same as Karis. According to Abaye, on the other hand, that we're expanding the definition of Ason, to include punishments that could lead to someone's death, even though these punishments are meted out B'day Shamayim, that even Misa B'day Shamayim is included in Kimle b'Rav Minei for Rav Nechunya ben Akana. But today we want to study the Afla. The Afla claims that he came up with a brilliant idea for an afkamina between Rava and Abaye. And what is then this afkamina? This would be a case of Kares and Malkus. Meaning, would we apply Kimle b'Rav Minei in a case where he violates an aver that incurs both a chiv kares and a chiv malchus? The Gemara itself discusses the issue of whether or not Misa would trump malchus, and the Gemara comes to the conclusion that since both of these punishments are punishments of Bezdin, we have a principle of Kimle b'Rav Minei. Now, again, Kimle b'Rav Minei in the parasha of Ason is limited to Chiyuv Mamon, meaning that Misa knocks off a Chiyuv Mamon. How do we know, asks the Gemara, that Misa could knock off a Chiyuv Malchus? And for that, Gemara needs especially a Fusa called Kdei Rishoso. Mishum Risha Achas Atomachaivo, V'i Atomachaivo, Mishum Shtei Rishoyos. So the Afla wants to know what would be the deal of Kares and Malchus. The Gemara has Misa and Malchus, but the Gemara doesn't discuss Kares and Malchus. Does Kares trump Malchus? And the answer is, says the Afla, it depends upon Abaye and Rava. If we go with the Shita of Abaye, then One second. If we go with Abaye, who derives Chayve Krisus from Ason Ason. One second. I'm pretty sure we're going to apply Kimle Ravine. I just want to make sure I got the mathematics correct. Oh, so according to Abaye, that his understanding of Rav Nechunya ben Akana is such that Misa and that in the parasha of Kimle Ravine we're going to expand Misa to include even Karis. Why? Because these are both of Onshin Bidei Shamayim that will bring about the death of the violator. Okay? Oh. So if that be the case, then once we expand the application of Kimle the Ramani to Misa and Malkus, then we should include Karis and Malkus as well. But Rav, on the other hand, who derives a principle that Karis could substitute for Misa's Bezdin, right? Would that pater him up from Malkus? Second. Let me read it to you inside. Because that way it'll refresh my memory. He says, this is about six lines down of Kuf Hey. He says, well, seven lines. He says, Lufi Abai, the Olaf Chaybe Krisus. Mikzera Shava the Ason Ason. Shenema Legami Moman. Ein Lanu. Shetehei Misa Bidei Shemayim Poteres El Momen V'lo Malkus Avol Rava Diyolaf Lehmi Kareis Shalim Kemisa Shalachem. That was the equation between Kareis and Misa, is Memele Kareis Poteres Gami Malkus. Okay, I'm sorry, I apologize. I think I said it the other way around with Rava and Abaye. Maybe I got the names mixed up. So let me. It's important that I correct this for the record. The Afla is claiming that according to Rava, Kares Poteres Malkus. Why? Because once we have the Alfusa of Kedei Rishaso, that Misa knocks off Malkus, then we can take Kares and plug it in as a substitute, as a replacement for Misa, because we have this equation between Kares and Misa. Do we have that? Let me just write that on the board for my own purpose. Where is the eraser? Anybody see that? I know it's right in front of mine. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, so let's just see what we have here according to Rava, right? So Rava has Misa She, right? Has, it starts with Shali or Shalachem, right? Misa Shali, right? Shali, which is Kares.
No.
Right?
Kari Shali Kamita Shalachem.
Alright, anyway, so Yosef, you'll if you don't mind, you'll brush it up in your writing. I'm just gonna do it this way. Okay. This is an easier way for me. Misa Shali Kimisa Shalachem. Shalachem, which is Misa's Bezd, right? Misa's Bezd. Oh. Now we have a derivation called Kidei Rishaso, from which we derive that Misa Poteres Mimalkus. Correct? Now, if we've already established this equation according to Rav between Kares and Misa's Bezdin, and Misa Poteres Mimalkus, then we know that Kar is Poteres Mimalkus, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. That's good. Now, we go according to Abaye. Now, according to Abaye, we have a Xeris Shava to teach me that Ason applies even to Chayve Krisus. Right? Everything, the title of everything we're doing here is called Rav Nechunya Ben Akon. Right? Did I spell that right? Rav Nechunya Ben Akon. Alright. So that now according to Abaye, Rav Nechunya Ben Akona has an expansion of Ason, correct? I don't have enough room on this back book because I wrote too large, but if you could write it like this, according to Abaye, Rav Nechunya Ben Akona is based on the word Ason, and now we're going through Xeris Shava, we're going to expand Ason, right, to include even Chayve Krisus. So even in the case of Chayve Krisus, the onus of Karis is going to knock off the Chiyuv Tashlumei Mom. Okay. Now we go over to Kedei Rishoso, and Kedei Rishoso is going to knock off a Chiyuv Malkus, but we have no way of knowing as to whether or not within the context of Kedei Rishoso there's an equation between Karis and Miso. We don't have any. See, according to Rav, we have an absolute rule of Misa Shalachem ke Misa Shalid. And therefore, once we have a din that Misa knocks off Malkus, then we're going to say that Karis knocks off Malkus. But according to Abai, we don't have the luxury of doing this because the Torah is Machadish that Misa knocks off Malkus, in the parish of Kedei Rishasa. Well, in Kedei Rishasa, we don't know whether or not Kares has the same status as Mises Bezdin. So therefore, according to Rava, I put an X over here. Do you see my X? Instead of Kares Poteres Mimalkus, Ein Kares Poteres Mimalkus. So this is, according to the Hafla, a new Ikabeinayu, an Afkamina between Rav and Abaye. That's his question. So now we want to take a look at Os Kuf Vav. And he says the following, there's a Sugyan Chulin, and Lechora Din Zeh, or Dabar Zeh, Toli Bepluta, the Rabbi Yochanan Vresh Lachish Bechulin Pei Aleph Amin Beis. What's the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lachish? Im Chayve Misos Shogigin Potrin Mimalkus. So we have a principle that Chayve Misos within the context of Kimlev the Rabine apply even in the case of Shogig. So let's say, for example, a person went to violate Shabbos b'shogeg, and at the same time, he would incur a punishment. Let's say a chiyuv mamon, or maybe even a chiyuv malkus. We'll see about that in a minute. So the halach is that misa, even in a case of shogeg, will generate kidnei the rabbinate. And that's based on Tana de Bechizkia. Okay, fine. Now, if we now want to shift over to Chayve Malkios Shogigin or Chayve Krisos Shogigin, then according to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't have Kimlev the Rabbine. Why? Because the Chiddush of Tana Dibei Chizkia is limited to the case of Misa.
Actual Misa.
Yeah. Well, what do you mean by actual Misa? Again, we're talking about Shogeg. Right? So I wouldn't call it actual Misa in the case of Shogeg. But since the Aveir itself would generate Misa had it been implemented b'mezin, therefore we apply Kimlev the Rabbinah. That's only in the case of Misa, according to Rabbi Yochanan. Okay? Now, what would Rabbi Yochanan say about Chayve Misos Shogigin in a case of Malkus? Well, the Gemara establishes that according to Rabbi Yochanan, in a case of Chayve Misos Shogigin, he would get Malkus. In other words, Chayve Misos Shogigin in Tanit Bechizkin, that's only to knock off a Chiv Mamon, but not to knock off a Chiv Malkus. So that's the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. But what does that mean? That the power, if I could use that word, of Misa to knock off Malkus, which is derived from Kedei Rishaso, that's limited to a case where Bezdin could actually implement the Misa and their hands are tied under the law of Kash of Kedei Rishaso. They cannot implement a second punishment, in this case Malkus. So that's called Eno Loko Umeis. But as far as Chayve Misa Shogigin is concerned, would that be able to knock off Malkus? Says Rabbi Yochanan, no, because we don't have Kedei Rishaso in this case. It's a Shogeg case, so there's no Mises Bezdin. So Mises Bezdin will knock off Malkus because the Kedei Rishaso Bezdin can't implement two punishments. But in the case of Chayve Mises Shogegin, where there is no punishment of Misa, then we go back to square one and he's Chayve Malkus. And that's, Yosef, I think what you meant when you said the word befall before. That means that according to Rabbi Yochanan, in order for Misa to knock off Malkus, we need a Misa before.
Actually, right.
And that can't apply to the case of Shogun. Now, now we shift our thoughts over to Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish holds that Chayve Misa Shogun Peturim in a Malkus. So in other words, the way that Reish Lakish understood Kedei Rishaso is that Kedei Rishaso depends not on the Befal, but rather on the Aver itself. So if this Aver is an Aver that in and of itself would generate a Chiyuv Misa had it been done b'mezid, so too in the case of Shogeg, it patters you up from Malkus. Okay, now let's go back to that flaw. That flaw said that he came up with an afkemina between Rava and Abaye. And we're going to talk about whether Kares, in Rav Nechuya ben Akana's perspective, would be Poteres min Malkus. And the answer was that according to Rava, yes. And according to Abaye, no. That's what we have over here. So now let's just think. If we're going to say that Kares Poteres min Malkus, well, let's go back to the source, which is Misa Poteres min Malkus, and that's derived from Kedei Rishaso. Well, Kedei Rishaso, according to Rav Yochanan, is totally in what? Yosef, your favorite word? Befall, actually. Well, that's not going to help us here in the case of Kares. In other words, when can we plug in Kares as a substitute for Misa in order to apply Kimlev Rabine in Rava's frame of reference, Loit Rav Nechuya ben Akana? That's only when we're talking about Mamon. Because we're talking about Mamon, we're talking about the parish of Ason Yeh Anosh Yonish. And in terms of a Chi of Misa, well, their Chayve Misa Shogigin is also included on the Kimlev the Rabbinah. So therefore we're not talking about the Befal, and now you can say that in the case of Malkus, that if you had a Chayve Misa Shogigin, or it's equivalent, according to Rav Nachman ben Hakanan, in the case of Kares, where Beis Din is not going to implement the punishment, nevertheless he's going to be parted from Malkus. Why? Because what we're going to say is that, just 1 second, so that makes sense if you hold like Reish Lakish, but it doesn't make sense according to Rav Yochanan. So let's just talk about Kares Poteres mi Malkus. So according, everything that I wrote here is according to that flaw. Right, this is the flaw in Rava in Rabbi Chuni ben Hakanan. All right, and according to that train, then Kares Poteres mi Malkus. Why? Because Rava's idea is that Kares is a replacement for Misa, and just like Misa Potatis for Malkus, Kares Potatis for Malkus. Then there's only one problem, and that's Rabbi Yochanan. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan is going to put his foot out, and we're going to trip on his foot, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that whatever you derive from Ktei Rishasa depends upon the Bafar. So there's no way that you could introduce Kares here. So what's the din in Chayvei Misos Shogigin who incurred a Chiyuv Malkus according to Rabbi Yochanan?
You have to get the Malkus.
Correct, you would get the Malkus. Because Chayvei Misos Shogin can only pater off in the parish of Asan from a Chiyuv Mamon, but it doesn't have the power to pater off a Chiyuv Malkus. Why? Because a Chiyuv Malkus is derived from Ktei Rishasa, and here we need the Befal, and therefore insists Rabbi Yochanan that in this case of Chayvei Misos Shogin, he will get Malkus. In that case, that in the case of Kares, even according to Rabbi Nachman ben Hakanan, he will get Malkus.
It's interesting because it's
so this is wrong. This assumption of that flaw that Kares Poteres mi Malkus is, we have a technical foul, as we call it in basketball, if we apply the logic of Rabbi Yochanan. Do you want to think about that? I mean, it sounds to me flawless. This is Rabbi Chaim Ozer Grzinski. Yeah.
When it says Mishum Risha Achas Atamachayv Oviyat Atamachayv Mishum Shtei Rishayod, that's talking about. Is it Mechayevo? Doesn't that indicate that he bears the obligation of it? It doesn't say that you did it.
Right, but the obligation, according to Rabbi Yochanan, means the obligation that allows and even obligates Benson to punish him.
Do it.
Right. Reish Lakish is going more with your logic. He's saying, let's look at the Avera.
It's in the realm.
Right. It says, Mishum Avera Achas.
Yeah.
But if this Aver is such that it generates Misa,
then it becomes,
then that Aver cannot generate another punishment. So the point of this Reb Chaim Ozer is to emphasize that this Shtickle Torah of the flaw could not possibly be accepted if you hold like Reb Yochanan. Now, here in the next paragraph, which goes on to Kuf Chav Dalet, he quotes another piece apparently in the Achiezer with Reb Chaim Ozer with a tzlach. Tzlach is of course the note of Yehuda, and he says Yesh Lefakri was it. The BMS the Reb Nachman ben Hakanan Mishtana Legamrei Pirush Akra Dekdei Rishasa. In other words, what happens here? The Rabbanon, we're talking about Kibbe Rabbinay as far as Chayvei Misos are concerned. So you can talk about Befal. But Rabbi Nachman ben Hakanan completely threw out this concept of Befal. Haraya, he applies Kibbe Rabbinay even in case of Kares. So there's no onus Befal. And that would impact on his, meaning Rabbi Nachman ben Hakanan's perspective on Kedei Rishasa. We've been understanding that Kedei Rishasa according to Rabbi Yochanan means the way Beis Din is going to implement the punishment. Well, that makes sense before Rabbi Nachman ben Hakanan in the Rabbanan's frame of reference, because according to the Rabbanan, we're all focused in on the before. But if you introduce Rabbi Nachman ben Hakanan into the picture, he's operating with Kares and Kimlev the Rabbi, it's not totally in Befal at all. And when he looks at Kedei Rishasa, he's going to tell you that Chayvei Krisus Poteres Mi Malkus just like Misa Poteres Mimalchus. And hence the flaw is correct in his premise. Because there's no reason to differentiate between Karis and Misa. What are you going to tell me? That Karis is a case of where Besen is not implementing the Onesh. Well, let's go back to the drawing board. I mean, in the fundamental case of Rav Nachum ben Akodah, Karis Patus of Mom. So you see that in his understanding, Kimlei the Rabbani is not addressing Besen, but rather the Avera per se. We're going to apply the same logic to Karis and Malchus. And we're going to say that Karis and Malchus depends not on Besen, but upon the nature of the Avera itself. And if it's an Avera that generates a Karis, then Enochinami would patter up for Malchus. So we could vacillate back and forth on this. The breakthrough, perhaps, is the Tzlach, which you'll see here on page Kuf Chav Dalet. Well, let's see if we can make sense out of the Tzlach. Now, let's go back to the case of Misa. Misa, we said, patters up Mom through Kimlei and the Rabbi. And we applied that principle through Tanit Vechizkiah even to a case of Shogeg. However, we have another element in this equation, and that's called a Chiyuv Beba Lotzeis Yedei Shamayim. So even though Bezdin could not impose a chiyuv mamon in the case of Misa, and I'm talking even about Misa's shogegin, nevertheless, the violator will be chayav bebal otzeis yedei shamayim to pay up, you know, the baal ashirayim, you know, the one who lost his shirayim. Okay, that's in the case of chayav Misa's shogegin. So he's Chayav Lotzeis Yedei Shemayim. You'll see that on line 4. Chayav Lotzeis Yedei Shemayim. He invented here a Rashi Tevis. Yeah. Alright. Now, Alma, what do we see? That the Tam Aptur, who Mishum Kidei Rishaso, Beraktive Mamon, Gully Krah may Acacia the Tanit Vechizkiah, the Bishogeg Nami Potter, Ubimalkis Lo Gully. So we know that in Shogeg he's going to be Potter from Tashlume Molin, but we don't know whether or not that principle will apply to Malkis. And that's because we're introducing Kidei Rishaso into the picture. So Rabbi Yochanan, for example, will say that the Torah never said that Chayvi Misa Shogegin could patter you up from Malkus. But that's all true before Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana. Aval Rabbi Nachunya ben Akana, since he derives from a pasuk, he has a Yalfusa that Kareis patters you up from Tashlumin, which is either according to Rava from the Parsha Molech or according to Abai from the Seir Shav of Asan, is Memela Goli Rachmana Digam Risha Bidei Shamayim Nechsheves Risha Ukidei Rishaso Pirush al pulas ha'avera mitzad atzma lo chiva atorah shnei onshin is mitam zeh kosev atzlach dil Rav Nachunya ben Akana ein chiv bekimlei b'derav minei gam lotzeis bidei shamayim
ein chiv.
You have to underline this, right? So we're seeing something brand new over here, and that is that although we've been saying until now that Kimlei the Ramine only patters him up in Bezdin, But the Bol Matzis in Neishvayim, he has to pay on his own initiative. That's not true according to Abnechunya Ben Akana. Because the Tzlat's breakthrough is to assume that according to Abnechunya Ben Akana, we're talking about Onshei Shamayim. And in the din of Shamayim, we're going to apply Kim Lev Derabine. So, for example, he violates a Chiyuv Karis. So, the din Shamayim of equating that Karis with Misa's Bezdin. In Shamayim, it's like we're putting him to death. Right. Hence, Kim Lev Derabine. So, if in Shamayim we're going to apply Kim Lev Derabine, then it doesn't make sense to say, well, he's going to have to pay because of Bal Lotzei Siyudei Shamayim. That even though Kim Lev Derabine, how should I say, ties the hands of Bezdin, and they will not be able to implement the punishment of Chiyuv Mamon, but nevertheless, in Bezdin Shel Shamayim, there's still a Chiyuv Mamon. Yeah, he ripped the guy's Shirayim, he should be paying for that. So he's Chayim B'din Shamayim. But if you go with Rav Nachunya Ben Akana, that the enterprise of Kim Lev Derabine applies even to Bezdin, to Onshei Shamayim, right? Bezdin Shel Shamayim, then you cannot assume that Kim Lev Derabine is going to, on the one hand, patter him up from Mamon, but at the same time insist that he's Chayav Bidin Shamayim. I mean, the whole din of Kim Lev Derabine is Midin Shamayim. And if it's a Din Shamayim of Kim Lev Derabine, it's got to patter him up even from the Baal Lotzei Siyudei Shamayim. Alright, let's now fast forward for a moment to Kuf Chaf He. The Gemara suggests that the nafkemina between Rav and Abaye is Misa Bidei Shamayim. And that's going to be the case of a Zar who eats Truma and he incurs a Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shamayim. If you hold like Rava, then we're in trouble here. You cannot extend Rav Nachunya Ben Akana's halach of kares to Misa, because Misa is a lesser punishment than kares. But if you go with Abaye, and Abaye holds that us, according to Rav Nachunya Ben Akana, the parsha of Ason is expanded and it even includes Chayve Krisus, which is an Onesh Bidei Shamayim, then it should include all Misa Bidei Shamayim, not just Karis. That's the Gemara here on Daf Lamed Omid Beis. Now, if you look at the language of the Gemara, it says Zar Sha'achal Truma. So what did the Zar eat? Again, I'll repeat my question. This is not a rhetorical question. I'm looking for an answer. The Gemara says that we're talking about Zar Sha'achal Truma. What does that mean? What did the Zar eat?
It's Misa Bidei Shamayim for...
No, I'm asking what he ate. It says Zar Sha'achal Truma. He ate Truma. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Now, when does Truma become Truma? Well,
it's in the hands of the Kohen.
Well, not really. The Yosef, it's a lot more complicated than that. As soon as he's mafresh the Truma, he becomes Truma. But the Gemara is talking about whether or not he has to pay up the Kohen for stealing his Truma. And Gemara assumes that if you hold like Abaye, and we're going to apply Kim Lev Derabine in Rav Nachunya Ben Akana's framework, even in the case of Chayve Krisus, and not only that, we're going to extend it even to Chayve Misa's Bezdin, I'm sorry, to Chayve Misa Bidei Shamayim, so therefore the Gemara says that according to Abaye, if he ain't Truma, he doesn't have to pay up to Kohen. Mashma, it wasn't that the Tzar was mafresh truma and then he ate the truma himself. No, the Tzar was mafresh the truma and then he delivered the truma to the Kohen. And that's his right. You know, he can choose whichever Kohen he wants to give it to. Tovas Adah, right?
When did he eat it?
Oh, so he stole it from the Kohen and he ate it as well. I mean, the Gemara is going to discuss whether Kim Lev Derabine could apply in this case, because Lechora, he already stole it when he lifted it up, and he doesn't violate the Iser of Misa Bidei Shamayim of Zoros until he swallows it. Correct. But we're not up to that Gemara yet. We're just trying to figure out at what point did the Tzar eat the Truma? Was it before it was delivered to the Kohen or afterwards? And what's the answer?
Has to be afterwards.
Has to be afterwards, otherwise we're not paying up the Kohen.
Well, there's no Kohen. There was a Mahotzi Mechavera then. It's a Mahotzi Mechavera Levaraya in terms of before. In theory, he owes Kahuna, but there's no Kohen to pay.
Ah, okay, good. So that's Afla's cash. Afla right now is not as smart as you are, but in his Maskoni he's going to be as smart as you are. And in his cash, he asks the following. Well, what do you mean payment? You want to deal with payment? I'll tell you, there's payment even before he delivers the Truma to the Kohen. And that's to Shevet Kahuna. In other words, all the Kohanim can gather together and say, look, this Truma was ours. Again, no specific individual Kohen can come forward and say it's my Truma, because he hasn't delivered the Truma, but the Truma belongs to an entity called Shevet Kahuna. And at that point, he's chayv to pay Shevet Kahuna. Now, Dafla adds another piece to the puzzle. But for this, I'm going to need your help with the Rambam, which unfortunately I don't have here. The Rambam Hilchos Me'ila. So maybe, John, if you'd be kind enough, as you always are, you're a Bar Samcha, to bring a Rambam Hilchos Me'ila. But let's, before we get to the Rambam Hilchos Me'ila, let's go over the Gemara's Kasha. The Gemara is going to ask the following Kasha. When the Tzar lifts up the Truma, he's already chayav to pay the Kohen for stealing the Truma. That's called a Kinyan Agav. Kinyan Agba, I meant to say. And he's not going to be chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim for Zoros until he swallows it. That's going to be the Gemara's Kasha. How can you set this up as according to Abaye, a case of Kimlev D'Rabimine? We need Be'im. Kimle Rabini means both Chiyuvim, the Misa, and the moment after Michal, immediately. What word am I looking for? That it has to be secret. That's called Be'im. Well, thank you. You want to open up to Me'ila for me? Maybe Yosef, you'll open up, or somebody can open up to Me'ila. Perek Vav Halokha Ches. You have that 6-8. Afla quotes the Ravid in his Hasagos in Hilchos Me'ila, and he wants to prove that the principle called Mide'agbe Kanye does not apply before the Kohen receives his Truma, meaning after Afrasha, but before the Truma was actually delivered to the Kohen. At that point, we're not going to apply the principle of Mida Agbe Kanye. So what's the case in the Ravid? We're talking about someone who's Magdish something to the Berek Abayis. Let's say he said this table should be Hegdish. And he hasn't yet delivered it to the Gizbar, who's in charge of representing Hegdish.
Yeah.
So the Ravid is going to insist that as far as this Hegdish is concerned, that hasn't yet reached the hands of the Gizbar, there's no Me'ila. Why is there no Me'ila? Let's say he lifts up the Hegdish and he wants to use it for his own purposes. That's not Me'ila. Why isn't it Me'ila? Because he hasn't yet delivered the Hegdish to the hands of the Gizbar.
But Amira Tolikavah.
Well, no, I mean, Russell Lugvon means that it's already Momen Hegdish Bikinyano,
right. Correct?
But he's got to remove the Hegdish from the Rishus of Hegdish in order to be Chayv for Me'ila.
Yeah.
So Me'ila requires not just, you know, looking at Hegdish or sitting on Hegdish or smelling Hegdish. It requires that you take the Hegdish. What do you say?
Yeah, I know.
Hegdish have to receive it first.
Well, yes and no. I'm not saying that Hegdish has to receive it. What I am saying is that in order for him to be chayv for Me'ila, he needs to be motzi es a Hegdish mirshus Hegdish. That means that once the Gizbar has received the Hegdish, now the Hegdish is in the rishus of Hegdish, such that now if he's moel the Hegdish, then he's chayv for Gzela. He's really stealing it from Hegdish. Says the Ravid, what happens if he lifts up the Hekdesh before he gave it to the Gizbar with full intention to use it for his own personal purposes? Says the Ravid, in such a case, he's not chayv for Me'ilah. Why? Because it's considered biyad gizbar. What do you mean biyad gizbar? I'm sorry. It's considered that yado kiyad gizbar. That it's really still in his rishus, and it hasn't yet been received by Hegdesh. So you see that the concept of hadbah, which usually means hotzah mirishus, which means it's a ma'aseh kinyan gzeila, doesn't apply in the case of Me'ilah before the Hegdesh was delivered into the hands of the Gizbar. Therefore, says the Afla, if a person would eat Truma, a Zar would eat Truma before the Kohen was Zochen the Truma, then in such a case we would not say that he made a Kinyan the very moment, a Kinyan Gneva, the very moment he decided to eat the Truma and he lifted up the Truma, because the Truma never left the Rishus of the Bailim. Mm-hmm. And he's the one who's considered holding on to the Truma. Just like the Ravid says in Me'ilah, that when a person is magnish something until such time as he delivers it into the hands of the Gizbar, he himself is the Gizbar. In other words, it's still in his Rishus. Again, even though Ami Russell Gavon came to see Russell Hedjan Tobi, but it's still considered in his Rishus. Hence, he hasn't taken it out of the Rishus of Hedish, and he's not Chayv Mishum Me'ilah. Here too, when a person is mafresh Truma, but he hasn't yet delivered the Truma hasn't left his Rishus until it's delivered to the Kohen. So this would be a beautiful option for explaining the Gemara and the Nafkamina between Abai and Rava. So if it's a Zar She'ochal Truma before the Truma was delivered to the hands of the Kohen, the Yisrael, now the Zar, is Chayav for Achilas Truma. And now you're going to have to ask yourself whether he's Chayav to pay damages to the Kohen. And the answer is that since he's Chayav Misa Midei Shamayim, then according to Abaye at least, he's going to be parted from Tashlumen. That's the Gemara's logic. He's parted from Tashlumen. Mm-hmm. Now, if he already delivered the Truma to the hands of the Kohen, then we understand very well that the Kohen is coming with a claim of damages, and the Kohen is out. Why is the Kohen left out? Because Kimlei B'Rav Minei, right? Because Abaye applies, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Akana, the Ptur of Kimlei B'Rav Minei, even to a case of Chayvei Krisus, and even to a case of Misa Midei Shamayim. If the Tzar would eat the Truma before it was delivered to the Kohen, then we could gain a tremendous amount. Because then we could say the following. Don't tell me that with the Adbe Kanye, that as soon as he lifts up the Truma he was Kohen, and he's lifting it up for his own purposes, right as he's about to put it into his mouth, that itself would not constitute a Kinyan Gneva. Why? Because of the Ravid Shita, that as long as you haven't delivered it, it's in your Rishus, so you never took it out of your Rishus. I mean, let me say it differently. You never took it out of your Rishus to give it to the Kohen, and if you never took it out of the Rishus of the Kohen, when you yourself decided to take it for yourself. So the Kasha of the Afloz, this is a great Ukimta, fantastic Ukimta in the Gemara, from Amai Ika Ben Ravel Abaye. And we really don't understand why the Gemara had to come on to a case where the Truma was already delivered to the Yad of the Kohen. Even if the Truma was not delivered to the Yad of the Kohen, you're nevertheless stealing from Shevet Kahuna once that Afrasha took place. And not only that, but to boot, we now circumvent the Gemara's Kash. The Gemara's objection is going to be Kavan, once he was once he picked up the truma for the purpose of eating it, he's chayav as a kadot. And the chiyuv of misa b'dei shavayah is not incurred until later on when he actually swallows the truma. That was the Gemara's objection. But that objection is not going to apply in a case where he ate the truma before it was delivered to the Kohen, because in such a case there's no kinyan gneva here. The only kinyan gneva could be when he swallows the truma, but up until the point that he swallows the truma, there's no kinyan gneva. Why? Because he hasn't yet delivered the truma to the hands of the Kohen. Yosef, you look like you're arguing against me, which I don't mind.
No argument here.
Lenny, do you want to argue against me? I think there's a certain potential logic, there's a certain convincing logic here to that flaw. Yeah?
Yeah. So it depends whether it's at the same time or not the same time.
Oh, and that should depend upon whether he delivered the truma or he hasn't yet delivered the truma.
Right.
If he delivered the truma already, then it's not at the same time.
Yeah.
Because the very moment the Tzar lifts up the truma, that hakbah is a kinyan gneva, he hasn't yet eaten the truma. But if I can come up with a case where there's no kinyan gneva through hakbah, then the achila would simultaneously be a violation of Zarus, and it would incur a chiyuv to pay the coin. And what hechatimsa do we have where there's a simultaneity between his achila and his kinyan gneva? That's going to be the case where the Tzar ate the truma after he himself was mafresh the truma before he delivered it to the Kohen, because at this point, as far as Rishus is concerned, for gneva, it's his. It still is. He's going to decide, you know, who he wants to give it to, but right now it's his. And if it's his, there's no kinyan gneva here to take away from the Kohen. So Hagbah would no longer be a problem. The whole issue of Hagbah is that it took place before the Achila, which generates the Chiyuv Misa B'dei Shavayah. Here the Hagbah is nothing. It's a totally meaningless Hagbah based on the Raivin in Hilchus Me'ilah. Can I borrow this?
Yeah.
I would love to read the Raivin inside. Thank you. The Raivin says, Kol Adam Shekdesho Tachas Yodo, he was magnus something but still in his possession. Harehu Kigizbar. And therefore, when he lifts it up, which is in 99 of 100 cases, that's when, if he has the right intention, which is the wrong intention, that's when he incurs a Chiyuv Me'ilah. Here's the exception to the rule. He hasn't yet delivered the Hegdesh to the Yad HaGizbar, it's still Tachas Yodo. In such a case, he's not Chayav for Me'ilah. Why? Because he's not taking it out of the Rishus of Hegdesh. It's still in his own Rishus. V'tiritz HaFla De'ochel Truma Shalom Zochav HaKohen Eino Chayav Min Adin L'Shalim. There is no Chiyuv Mamon here. I told you there was a Chiyuv Mamon to Shem Kahuna. Now Flo says that's not so. And what's that called? That's a sugyan chulin called Mamon She'ein Lo Tovim, which means the following, that I don't have to pay you unless you're Toveya me. If let's say the Mamon itself doesn't lend itself to Tviya, because, you know, it can always fall between the cracks, whether it's this coin or that coin, we don't know which coin has the rights to which truma.
No Kohen ever had it.
Yeah, well, there
so
is,
no
well,
Kohen is going to claim it.
There is a concept in Gittin called Makiri Kuda, but yeah, you're right. Let's assume that no Kohen has any claim over this truma. It hasn't been delivered to any particular Kohen. So the Melee in Dini Moment is, who can sue the Bailim for lost truma when when it's from Shein Lo Tovim, because there's no particular. So Joe Cohen comes along and he says, I want to sue you for damages on my truma. So the Tzar who ate the truma is around to turn, has the right to turn to him and say, what do you mean?
My truma.
Yeah. Again, the critical turning point in which this truma becomes mama, that now you can sue for damages to the zaraway to truma, is when it came into the hands of the kohen. Before it came into the hands of the kohen, you know, the truma is owned by shevet kahuna. But that certainly is not enough to make it into mama sheishal tovim, because mama sheishal tovim means we have to have one person who is going to be tovim. Okay, so that's going to be the answer of the flaw as to why the Gemara has to insist that the truma was delivered to the kohen, and then the Zar ate it. Now, we have one other issue here before we go on to the tzlach, and that is the issue of Bol Lotzeis Yidei Shamayim. There's a Tosus in Chulin, and you really have to have a lot of bekiyus here. The Tosus in Chulin says that even though Mamon Shein Lo Tovin, no one could force you to pay, but Yechai B'din Shamayim, which would probably mean that you put the Truma at the access of the, you know, the access of all the Kohanim, and call it Kohanim Zoch. Some Kohen will come along and make it kinyan. Or alternatively, maybe have to give it to one particular coin. I don't know. But anyway, that's called Bolatzis Yidei Shamayim in the case of Momen She'en Lo Tovim. And he says, Hilkach Lekalu Ukri Vitruma Shalom Zofa Bakom Tekai Gavna Fila Baye Chayu Tekimlin Rabbi Eno Poter Chiyuv Lotzis Yidei Shamayim. Wow. This is amazing. He's saying the following. If it were a case of Truma B'yad Yisrael, then how could Abai say that when the Zar eats this Truma, he's potur through Kimlev Nirabin because he's Chai Misim Bnei Shamayim? It's Momen Shein Lo Tovim, but on the other hand, it's Bol Lotzeis Yidei Shamayim. So despite the fact that he hasn't yet delivered the Truma, he still has to pay Shevet Kahuna in whatever form. We'll have to work that out. And why does he have to pay? Because of Bol Lotzeis Yidei Shamayim. Whereas according to Rava, just one second. No, it doesn't make sense. How could Rava say Yechayev? Just one second. According to Abaye is potur because he came by the rabbi. I lost the chesed here. I have it. Don't give up on me. One second. He's saying like this, that if it's a case of Mama Shein Lo Tovim. Oh, so Abaye will have to agree that Kim Levi the Rabine is not going to operate here. Why? Because Kim Levi the Rabine does not exempt you the Bol Lotzeis Yidei Shamayim. Again, this is going to be against the Tzlach, I think, because we're talking about Rabbi Lechunya ben Akana here, right? So Rabbi Lechunya ben Akana's framework. There is no Bol Lotzeis Yidei Shamayim. But let's assume for a moment that there's Bol Lotzeis Yidei Shamayim. So what are you going to tell me? We're talking about a case of Momen Shein Lo Tovim. Why? Because he hasn't yet, the Tzar has not yet delivered the Truma to the Yad of the Kohen. And what, Abai is going to apply the principle of Kibbeh Ibn Rabi? No, he still has to pay because of Bol Lotzeis Yidei Shamayim. Yeah, Upakai Gavna, if you want to underline these words, I had a pencil here, but go find it. Here it is. Upakai Gavna, Afilu La Abaye Chay, the Kimlev the Rabbinay Eno Poter, Chiv Lotzeis Yidei Shamayim. So we're looking for an afkamina between Abaye and Rafa. So we want to say that afkamina would be whether or not he has to pay the Bol Lotzeis Yidei Shamayim, I'm quoting my true B'yad Yisrael, and Tom Chaylo told me, and the answer is no. Even a Abaye would agree that Kibbeh Ibn Rabbinay here is ineffective And if you're dealing with the chiyuv b'bolot to see the shamayim, then Abai would agree that he's chayiv. Hence, this could not be a valid nafkimi. So this is Afla's answer to his own question. Why didn't the Gemara address the case of Trua B'Yad Yisrael, you know, before Mesir LeKohen, and that would have had the great advantage based on the Raya of Ilah of circumventing or avoiding the kasha of Mida'ag Be'Kanye, because there's no Mida'ag Be'Kanye here. So the answer is no, because before he delivers the Truma to the Yad of the Kohen, it's called Mamad Shein Lo Tovin. You'll say that Abai is going to still apply the principle of Kimlei Rami, at least as far as the Chiyuv B'Bolot Tzitzis Deshmayim. The answer is no, that Kimlei the Ramine is not powerful enough to remove a Chiyuv Deshmayim. But he says the following. There's a beautiful tzlach in Psochim. We're talking about the Mishnah of Ochel Trumas Chomeitz to Pesach, Bishogim. And the Mishnah says that he pays Keren V'Chomesh. So we have a general a machlokus about Keren V'Chomesh. Is it Lefi Dami Mishan or Lefi Mida Mishan? Do you pay according to its market value or according to its volume? And you just have to replace the physical entity of the Truma that you ate.
Has no market value.
Plus Eda Chomesh. What?
Has no market value.
Oh, so affecting Gemara, if you can hold Lefi Dami Mishan, how can the Mishnah say Yechayev Chomesh has no market value, it's Osir Bano. And the Gemara is so impressed by this question, the Gemara assumes that that Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who holds that Chometz from Pesach is Mutar Bano. So, Frank the Pnei Yoshua, I'm going to have a Gemara answer of the Tzlach. The Pnei Yoshua asks the question, Amai lo muk midin lo bi ochel truma. Now, if the truma has not yet come into the hands of the Kohen, then there's no violation of Bal Yirah Ba'imotze, according to Yeshua, and that's the Sugya Psochem Emvar, because no one owns the truma. And there's no Bal Yirah Ba'imotze unless somebody owns the truma. Right? Shalchoya Torah, Bal Torah, Shalachayim, he was mafresh the truma. It was not yet delivered to the Kohen. So this would be a wonderful case where it's Yesh Domin, there would be a market value for Trumas Chometz, even though, again, you can't do anything with it on Pesach itself, but wait till after Pesach. And since you didn't violate by your Rabbi Matzah, there's no Yisur Chomet Shavuot Pesach. The Tiretz HaTzlach, the Tzlach answers, the Vitruma Shalobali Dei Kohen, So we see clearly from the tzlach that even if someone eats the truma b'shoge and the kohen hasn't yet received the truma, he's potter l'shalim in adin. It's mamon shein lo tovim. And now we're going to have to learn a mishnah truma. Some perek vav mishnah beis. So Rav Holtz, let's make a note of where we got up to. We're on kuf chav vav, and this is where we want to start. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem. And we'll see how far we can get with this. But in Mirtz Hashem, what we want to talk about is at what point does the Yisrael make a kinyan on the Truma, and at what point does he violate the Isur of Zar Shochal Truma. The Kenyan aspect, L'chore, it goes as early as the Agvah, whereas the Chiyuv Misa Bidei Shabbat for Achila Zar is only violated when he reaches the state of Achila, which is after the Agvah, unless it's a case of Tachav Lo the Beis Havliya. Remember that? Where somebody else puts it into his mouth. So that's where we want to start tomorrow. Good. This Rambam in Me'ilu we'll try to replace, and we'll be able to.